in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, I want you to think just for a moment how you would feel as parents today if you had a 12-year-old young'un that had come up missing for 3 days. Well, Jesus did over there. I tell you, that ought to tell you something. You ought to forgive them kids sometime. Jesus even misbehaved, I guess. But anyway, he was found missing in the temple for 3 days, and he was found in the temple talking and answering questions and hearing in the midst of doctors. To say that is to say this. Jesus is in the midst of doctors and answering hard questions. How many folks got any hard questions? Can you imagine the question that was probably asked that day? Why was I born? What can I do with my sins? Is there life beyond the grave? You know, we're living in confusing times, aren't we? We're living in times over there that I almost pull out a little bit higher I got. There's hard questions in life. Aren't you glad that Jesus is in the midst to answer the hard questions of life? I think sometimes that a lot of things could be avoided in life if we'd realize that Jesus is in the midst of the hard questions. See, we want to get our answers from the world, don't we? We want to go to a psychiatrist. You know, I tell you, I've known a lot of psychiatrists, and I've known a lot of these people like that. And I'll just be honest with you, and one's not here today, so they're a bunch of nuts. You know, you go over here to these folks for marriage counselors and you get to talking to them. They've been married 3 or 4 times. Huh? Are you with me now? The world will answer your questions. They will give you an answer. But I'm telling you today, if you have the hard questions in life, you need to go to the one that's in the midst of hard questions. Hey, one reason that we have the consequences of life, we ask the wrong people. We ask the wrong purpose. And I want to tell you, when God answers it, it's correct. See, he knows the beginning before the end and the end before the beginning. And so I'm here today to plead with you. Jesus is always in the midst of the hard questions in life. Now here he was at 12-year-old, sitting in the temple, astonishing all the scholars and all the doctors. Now I don't think that all these doctors were medical doctors either. I believe back then, just like that. You know the difference in churches today? You got a great old big church, they want doctors. Got a little medium-sized church, they want a reverend. A little church like us, you're stuck with a brother. Here he is, amen. I want you to realize that today. But these were learned, and they were people that had a doctorate degree over there. And the Bible says that they were astonished at the wisdom of a 12-year-old kid. He has the answers of life. You know, the Bible says that we have not because we ask not. Is that right? We have the wrong answers because we don't come to the Lord and get the right answer sometimes. You know, if we would spend more time up here on our knees and we'd spend more time up here and get the right answers to begin with over there, we could avoid a lot of life's problems. Hey, listen, I won't go buy an automobile unless I pray to the Lord about it, amen. If you've been stuck with as many lemons as I have, and you, because the only thing that I always buy something somebody else has wore out. And so I have to pray a lot. I don't have the warranty, you know what I'm saying, and all that stuff. So I have to depend on the Lord. But if you think about it just for a moment, and he's in the midst of answering your questions. He's in the midst of answering the hard questions. You know, I have people come to me all the time and, this one's fussed up over here, and this one's fussed up over there, and we want to go down here to the courthouse and file divorce papers. And the only people that comes out on divorce is lawyers, by the way. And I said, well, have you asked the Lord what he thinks? No. I just opened up the Bible and I said, well, right here's what he thinks. See, the answer of God will not differ from this, because this is the word of God. Amen. See, and the Lord is speaking to us through what? His word. See, a lot of times, how do you talk to Jesus? Well, a lot of people get up here and they get in the altar and they get in the spirit and they talk to the Lord over there. Hey, listen, right here's the way I talk to him every day. By reading God's word. That's where the hard answers are. Why is that? Because he's in the midst of it. A lot of people don't know because they don't study. A lot of people don't know because they don't ask. A lot of people don't know because they don't pray. But God is wanting to answer the hard questions in life. You know, Jesus is in the midst. Bible said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Beloved, as I think about Jesus always in the midst, he's not only in the midst of a sinner's life, he's not only in the midst of my business wanting to answer my hard questions, but the Bible says that where there's two or three of us gathered together, that he is in the midst of them. Now, beloved, I tell you, I've been preaching for over 40 years, and I've preached to stumps, I've preached to crowds that you couldn't see the back of the building. I preached over the radio. I preached over the internet. I preached on TV. I preached just about anyway. I preached standing up. I preached laying down. I preached propped up on canes. Not many positions I ain't preached in. But I want to hear that right now. That the reason that I can preach and the reason that I can stand firm for the Lord, that I'm assured of his presence in my life. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. If there's two people there talking about the Lord, there's a third in there that we can't see. Are you with me just for a moment? See, we need, in the midst of 2019, we need to know that he is in the midst of God's people. In other words, he's with us. He is present. He's in the midst of answering prayer. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. That's why the Bible says we ought to come in agreement. We ought to come into agreement. That's why that it's important for us to communally pray. I believe that there's power in numbers. When God's people will gather together and God's people will bow a knee and God's people will get their hearts right over there and God's people will pray a prayer over there, I believe that Jesus Christ is in the midst of that prayer. Why is that? Because two or three gather together. And in the midst of two or three believers, Now, beloved, now I want you to realize today, in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, what's happening here. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, we find over there that he has already talked about the lost sheep. He's already talked about forgiveness. And he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Beloved, I want you to consider, if you will, today, that knowing that Jesus is in the midst, he brings about that peace which passeth all understanding. You remember that night that he came, and he came to the disciples were in the upper room, and they was in fear of the Jews, and basically they were hiding out that night. And how that Jesus just appeared there, and in the midst, the Bible says, of this time. And he said, "Fear not, peace be still." Hey, listen, aren't you glad today when two or three are gathered together that we're assured of his presence, that he answers our prayer, but he announces his peace to us today? Beloved, I wanted to touch just on the Old Testament just for a moment. If you look over in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25, Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25, as we consider, if you will, I love this story, I always will. That's Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25. I'll tell you a little story about that, and I won't tell you the young one's name because she's a grown woman now, but when she was a little child here at church, I knelt down as we were between services, and I said, "Honey," I said, "what did you learn in Sunday school today?" And she said, "We studied about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." So we're going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego today. So I never will forget that. Here we look into Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25. And y'all know this story well. How that old Nebuchadnezzar threw the children in the fiery furnace, and they didn't think it was going to be hot enough. And he said, "Heat her up seven times more over there." And the Bible says that it was so hot that it slew them that put them in there. But I'm here to tell you today, and we're living in a time over there that Jesus is in the midst of the fires of persecution today. Amen. Listen, I don't mean to scare you. I want to warn you. I don't mean to upset you. I'm here to calm you. I don't mean to make you fret with fear because I'm trying to give you some faith. But we're going to see things happen in our lifetime if the Lord dares his coming over there that we have never seen before on the face of the earth. There's going to be persecution as we've never seen in our lifetimes. As sure as I'm standing here behind the pulpit preaching his blessed word today, that times will wax worse and worse according to the word of God. And I want you to know that if there's ever been a time that we need to know that Jesus is in the midst of the fires of persecution, it's 2019. The Bible said over there in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25, he said, and he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Now, beloved, to say that is to say this to you today. If you don't get anything else over there, I want you to notice over there that they were bound and thrown in that fire, fully clothed. The Bible says they had their hats on, had their boots on. Sound like an old Western over there. But I want you to note over there that when they went in the fire, that the Bible says that the ropes came off. Aren't you glad today that in the midst of the fire that you're not bound by the things of this world? I said, ain't you glad that in the times that we're living in, when you're in the midst of the fires, that you're not bound by the things of this world? Hey, listen, I want you to realize today that a lot of folks over there, the reason why that you won't be able to fight for the Lord is because you're too attached to this earth. Amen. And the reason why is because we're bound by the things of this world. But Jesus Christ is in the midst of the fire to unbind you, to give you liberty in the times in which we live in. I tell you, I'll tell you something that I've noticed something else. It's hard in 2019, if you ain't real careful over there, it's hard to find liberty to preach the word of God, amen. But when I find that I can't have liberty over there, I go back and I find what's bound me. I found what's tied me up. I find over there the things that are keeping me from over there, and I pray, Lord, loose me from these things that I might preach the gospel. Their ropes fell off when they was in there. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ was in the midst of the fiery furnace. And I want you to note something else over there. Take heed. I want you to think just for a moment. He took the burn out of the fire. Amen? Now that fire was still going on. That fire was still going over there. But the Bible says that they walked around in the midst of the flame. He took the burn out of the fire. There's every kind of old remedy in the world in the mountains for getting burned, ain't they? From putting raw onions on it, to cutting taters, you're going out on the back porch and just scream like a youngin. I don't know. There's all kinds of cures for burns in the mountains. Some of them work, some of them don't. But he took the burn out of the fire. But aren't you so glad today that he took the sting out of death? And we're made much more than victors through Jesus Christ, our Lord today. It didn't say that we wouldn't have to die, but he took the sting out of it. Just like he took the burn out of the fire. In other words, we might have to walk through the fire, but he's going to take the burn out of it. Not only did he unbind us in the midst of it, he took the burn out of it to take a walk. Bible says that they walked around in the midst of the fire. In other words, we can move under persecution, amen? There's a lot of people today, I don't know what you're gonna do when times get rough. First little old thing happened, you're like that dog, you tuck your tail between your legs and you go over here and crawl under the porch. You ain't much of a dog, amen? I like them dogs when you kick them. They'll kick you back. They'll growl at you. You know, that's a dog right there, not one that'll just stick his tail under his leg and crawl under the porch. I don't know what you're going to do over there, because when the time comes and knowing that Jesus is in the midst of it, he's going to unbind you. He ain't nothing going to hurt you. But you're going to have to stand firm. You're going to have to take a walk in the midst of fire. And what that means is we need to do something in times of persecution. See, we've sat back in this country and we've tucked and we've tucked and we've tucked. Christians have. And we suck it up and we suck it up and we don't say nothing. We don't say nothing over there till we don't have a voice no more. Jesus Christ is in the midst of the fire. We can stand bold for him. Amen. 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 There's no sense for us not to stand bold for him. And as we consider that, if you'll look over there in John chapter 20, verse 19. How many folks having troubles? You don't have to show your hands, you can show your heart. Having troubles. Well, I'm going to tell you something about that. Don't be dismayed, because what I have found without any exception is that everyone is either in a battle, coming out of a battle, or getting ready to go into one. Amen? So everybody here, we know all about trouble, because you either in trouble, getting ready to get out of trouble, or getting ready to go into trouble. We all have trouble. I'm glad to tell you by the good news from the Word of God that Jesus appears in the midst of the troubled saints. Amen. I want you to realize today that most of y'all will agree with me that you didn't know how close Jesus could be until you had trouble. Amen. Until you had sorrow, until you had pain. Then you realize that he is in the midst. Bible says in John chapter 20 and verse 19, it says this: "And that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus," look at this, "and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you." Beloved, I want you to realize today that here that Jesus appeared to all the disciples except Thomas. Thomas had something better to do, and he missed out because he didn't come to church that day. And that's a whole different message. But he appeared in the midst of these troubled saints to give peace, to give assurance, and to give power. Beloved, I want you to realize today that you will not handle anything in this world that ain't already passed through his hands. Amen. I'm speaking to you, born again, saved by the grace of God, born again, child of God. You will not taste anything in this world that he ain't already tasted. Why is that? Because what he done at Calvary was sufficient unto the day. Born again, saved by the grace of God, child of God today. You are prepared to win. Amen. A lot of folks think, well, you know, they get down and out. They start hanging their head low. They start to, oh me, oh my, over there. Listen, that's not your character. You were prepared to be a winner. Why is that? Because Jesus is in the middle of your business when you're troubled. To give peace, to give assurance, to give power. I can't help but express this. The most memorable ministry that I have has been the ministry of the crossing. Amen. Amen. There is nothing on the face of the earth that's more precious than watching somebody slip to the other side. Hey, I've seen babies born. Don't advise that, by the way. That's awful. Been there at the birth of kids. But listen, when I say the ministry of the crossing, it's the greatest thing you'll witness on the face of the earth. And I want to tell you something about the ministry of the crossing. When you realize that Jesus Christ is right there in the middle of the room, in the midst of all this trouble, and then that settled peace comes in, that assurance and that power, you won't find anything more precious this side of glory. I'm looking forward to that crossing just between you and me. Now, I don't want to go no sooner than I have to. I'm better acquainted down here than I probably am up there, but I want you to realize this. Jesus Christ is in the midst of troubled saints. And I'll tell you this to tell you this. A lot of times the way a person dies will tell you about the way they lived. Amen. I've sat around and squalled at my loss for them. And they would sit there and they would minister to me as they were crossing. Honey, aren't you glad that Jesus is in the midst of troubled saints? What's I am today. Beloved, I want you to get this, and we're out of time. I know we've covered a lot of ground. Look up in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13. As John the Revelator was on the Isle of Patmos over there, and he was writing in the book of Revelations over there. He started saying, I'm the Alpha, the Omega. I'm the beginning, the end. In other words, I'm everything from A to Z and everything in between. And as he wrote over there, and he wrote to the seven churches over there and the times over there, the seven churches. And I want you to realize today that Jesus is walking in the midst of the churches. That Jesus is walking in the midst of the churches. Hey, listen. I don't care who shows up on Sunday as long as he does. I don't care who shows up on Sunday night as long as he does. I don't care who comes out on Wednesday night as long as he do. Because I tell you something I've learned about churches a long time ago, the crowds will take care of themselves. Amen. That's not my business. My business is to preach the word of God. My business is to share the word of God. My business is to make sure that the Lord's here. And if the Lord's here, the crowd will take care of itself. You say, that's a strange philosophy. Well, I believe that's the truth today. Jesus is walking in the midst of our churches. Now, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13, and these candlesticks he's talking about are churches. And he said, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and a girt about his paps with a golden girdle. Now, beloved, I want you to realize that he was in the midst of these seven candlesticks. But I also want you to note over there that and one like unto the Son of Man. Now, I'm here to say this, to say that. They might have been seven candlesticks, but there was only one. Amen. Did y'all know there's just one church? Do y'all know that? Now, that might be surprising to some folks that there is not but one church that we know of as the Bride of Christ. And I'm glad to be a part of that. And I'm glad to tell you that that Jesus is walking in the midst of the church. Not a church, They said there's an old drunk one time went down there, the big church downtown, or big church in some big city, not Hazelville, North Carolina. And he went in there and he was homeless and he wasn't dressed real good and he probably didn't smell too good. But he walked by the church and he heard that singing. And he went up there and he wanted in, but the big usher man come up there and said, "You can't come in here looking like that. You can't come in the house of God looking like that." Sent him away. Said he sat down on the sidewalk outside the church where he could still hear the singing. He started praying to God, and he said, "God," said, I would like so much to got in there and been with your people." He said, God sat down right beside him and said, "Son, don't worry about it. I've been trying to get in that church myself all my life." he ain't welcome either. To say that is say this. Jesus is walking in the midst of our churches today. Do you feel his presence? What's he doing walking around in the midst of our church today? Well, I tell you, he's reviewing. He's looking at us. Amen? He's looking at us. Why is he looking at us? Hey, you remember when you were twitipated by some young lady? Amen? Huh? There was at some point in time, men over there, you looked over and said, "Well, that's the prettiest thing I ever seen in my life over there." And just made an awful fool of yourself over, you know what I'm saying? Y'all ain't that righteous. I mean, I just look back there. You ain't that righteous. You know what it's like to be in love the first time. Jesus is reviewing the bride. Amen? Amen. Yeah. We're the bride of Christ, and he looks at us, and he reviews us. He reviews us. He's looking at the church today. Why is that? Because he's in the midst of it. He rebukes us. Points out what's wrong. Points out what's wrong. And he rebukes us. Why? That we might do better. You know, this almost sounds like the Word of God, isn't it? What's the Word of God written for? To rebuke? Reprove? What's that other? And exhort. But he's also walking around the church in the midst of us to bring about rewards. I tell you, you don't have to die to reap the rewards of being a child of God. Amen. I like what old Mays Jackson used to preach. You can clip coupons down here. Amen. You can clip coupons down here by living for the Lord. It pays and there's reward for it. Why is that? Because he's in the midst of the church. And I'll just tell you what's the truth. If you don't think Jesus Christ is not in the midst of the church, then you might as well stay home. Amen. That's why I come. I come because he's here, because his spirit's here, and because I know that I'll find him here. That's why that I gather together each and every time that I come to the house of the Lord, because I think, no, I don't. I know he is in the midst of the house of God. Y'all come on and sing a song. You say, "Well, I just don't feel like the Lord's in my life today." I tell you, have you ever invited him to get in your business? Get right in the middle of my life. Get right in the middle of my problems. Get right in the middle of who I am. And I'm glad he'll do that today. There's some folks in here today that need to come to an altar and invite the Lord come in their lives today. Now, I'm going to tell you something about that. You be careful, because I'm going to tell you what will happen. You come over here and you invite the Lord into your life, you're stuck with him. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. I'll go with you even to the end. But a lot of folks today say, well, I don't know if I want to make an obligation like that. Well, a lot of folks don't want to. Why is that? Because you'll have a friend for life. You'll have someone who will never leave you. You'll have one over there that will be closer in times of trouble than in times of joy, because he's always in the midst. We've got folks back there today that says, you know, I've got to really have an answer for, and I need the right answer because it affects so many people and affects me over there, and I just don't know which way to turn. He's in the midst of your hard questions. The reason that you don't know, you ain't asked. The reason you don't know, you haven't come over there and asked the Lord. We have people out there today that are lost and undone over there, and I want you to know over there, in the midst of your lost and undoneness, he's in the middle of it. I'm glad that he was in the middle of those three men today. He was in the midst. A lot of folks says, you know, I just can't get into coming to church, and I just can't get into this over there. Hey, listen, the problem is the I that you use. I don't come here because of I come here because of him. Why is that? I know he's here. I don't know what God's dealt with. I know God's dealt with somebody out there. He went and gave me this message, but I've done my part. God's spoken to your heart. Will you please come as we sing? Please stand if you would.